It's hard to know how to begin. The story of Jesus' passion is heartbreaking. I'm remembering my pilgrimage to the Holy Land in 2018. Our group walked the Via Dolorosa, the route through the old city of Jerusalem that represents the path that Jesus walked on his way to the cross. It goes through the heart of Jerusalem, following a series of narrow cobblestone streets that are lined with churches and shops and monuments. We stopped 14 times to listen to a portion of the Passion reading and to pray together. Jerusalem was bustling, as usual, and so we had to weave our way through busy crowds who were headed in all directions and speaking multiple languages. As we progressed toward the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, which is the traditional site of Jesus's crucifixion and burial, each person in the group seemed to withdraw into themselves, feeling the weight and the grief of what lay ahead. Our guide encouraged us to imagine what it must have been like for Jesus and his family and his disciples to travel to Golgotha in the midst of strangers who are going about their daily business. It was hard to grasp the reality of such suffering and violence alongside a multitude of indifference. And there was a multitude on Good Friday. As we listen to the Passion, did you notice how many people were close to what happened that day? Not just Judas, a detachment of Roman soldiers, countless temple police, high priests, slaves and servants of the powerful, crowds of regular people, and the disciples, the women and men who loved Jesus deeply. So many people watched it all unfold. The violent arrest and the sham of a trial, the mocking and the flogging, the death sentence and the horror of crucifixion. So many people. I wonder what it was like for them to witness an innocent man made to suffer and die. What it was like to have a hand in it for some. This week, I've been reflecting on the reactions of the individuals in this passage from John and the many ways they seek to avoid the pain of witnessing Jesus's crucifixion, ways that are likely familiar to us. The soldiers and the police are merely doing their job, acting on orders they cannot possibly disobey. The crowd justifies his death with false accusations. Simon Peter expresses his grief through anger, injuring a slave and then falsifying history by denying Jesus. Annas and Caiaphas try to make someone else the decision maker, so they can't be blamed. Pilate insists it's not about him. He has no stake in things. And many others hurry by, keeping to themselves and averting their faces, choosing to numb their discomfort with other distractions. Dr. Catherine Meeks writes in her blog about how hard it is to stare pain in the face, emotional or physical. She's responding in her blog to the war in Ukraine, but she's also writing further about how we resist any painful truth, like the truth of a dying loved one, or the brutality of systemic racism, or the crushing impact of climate change. We have so many ways to try to deny the reality of pain, but these ways always come at a cost. Each time we choose a path of avoidance, small parts of our lives shrink, and our hearts become more closed, and new possibilities to live life more fully and freely become blocked. The only way to wholeness in the face of suffering, Dr. Meeks writes, is to have the courage to be brokenhearted, to turn toward the pain and let one's heart be opened by it, which then creates the space to hold the pain. This is an act of brave and vulnerable surrender, and we see it in the story of Good Friday. Because while many present seek to escape the horror of Jesus's execution, four remain at the foot of the cross: Mary, Jesus's mother, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and the beloved disciple whom tradition says is John. They remain. They are devastated and grieving, but they don't look away. There is nothing they can do except love him to the end, together. When Jesus sees them holding him in their broken hearts, he offers his compassion in return, binding his mother and the beloved disciple together. Woman, here is your son. Man, here is your mother. Even at the point of death, Jesus' broken heart meets theirs, and something new and life-giving is born. From that hour, the disciple took Mary into his own home. Dr. Meeks writes that it is only acceptance of painful reality that can open new possibilities for a more free and full daily life. The courage to be brokenhearted doesn't come from personal strength, but from our strong bonds to each other, through which God can inspire and empower us to love despite the pain. We will conclude our service today with the contemplation of the cross, that mystery and paradox of both death and new life. St. Clare of Assisi regarded the cross as a mirror in which we can see ourselves and the world around us clearly. In contemplating the tragic and brutal death of Jesus, she saw our own human capacity for violence and betrayal and destruction, the capacity to deny and avoid fully facing the pain of others. And in contemplating Jesus's compassion and faithfulness, St. Clare saw God's loving solidarity with all who suffer, which means that when we turn toward the pain of someone else with an open heart, we are also, in that moment, surrendering ourselves to the one who will fill us with courageous and transformative love. So as we look into the mirror of the cross today, may we see ourselves and the world around us plainly and honestly. May we open our hearts to the pain of humanity and of all creation, willing to be brokenhearted and willing to be changed. May we not withdraw into ourselves, joining the multitude of indifference, but reach out to each other, trusting that God will guide us together through death into new life. Amen.